Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
Well, good morning. How are we, church? You doing all right? How good was the Salvo's Big Band? Pretty good, wasn't it? Pretty good. We'll see if I've got anything else and we'll grab that and we'll play that as well. Special welcome if you're joining us online. There's a whole heap of people online. And I know there's a few people watching with a few people, but hello to all of you. It's so good to have you with us. Hit the like button. Tell us where you're watching from. Interact somehow. And if you're in the area, drop in and come and see us. We'd love to see you in house as well. Hey, next week, if you don't know this, next week we've got two cadets coming. One cadet's going to be preaching in the morning and the other cadet's going to lead, and then they're going to flip. So in Busselton, it's going to be the other way around, and they're going to flip, so then the other one will preach and then the other one will lead. So two different services next week. So if you want to jump on both, you're very welcome to. That's next week. Also, craft is starting, isn't it? Tomorrow. Craft is starting tomorrow, so craft and coffee out in Eden. So go and see Leanne, if you want any details around that. Lee, go see Lee if you want any details around that. But we are continuing our series, Finding Hope. Finding Hope, and we're looking at the book of Ruth. Do we have the artwork? Can we have the artwork come up? Finding Hope. And this is this is what we're trying to do and go through the series and look at this story in the book of Ruth. And we're going to jump straight into it today because we've got a lot to cover. So if you've got your Bibles, open them up. Ruth chapter 1. Verse 8 is where we're going to start from. If you weren't here last week, you missed out. What a good week last week was. It was pretty intense, but it was a good week. If you weren't here, you can catch up on the podcast, wherever you podcast from, whatever store you go to. But if you were here, let me just give you a quick overview, a quick rundown, a reminder of what we talked about. We started with this guy, Elimelech. Say Elimelech. I love the fact that seven people said it differently. Elimelech and his family, and they moved to a place called Moab. Remember, Moab means a place that is not quite the promised land. A place that's not quite the promised land. But they're in the promised land, and they move to Moab. And the reason they move is because there's a severe famine in the land. And so desperate people do desperate things, and so they move to Moab. And when they're in Moab, Elimelech dies. Now Naomi's a widow. This is tragic. This is hard stuff for her. But she has two sons. Their sons' names are? No one? Mahlon and Chilion. Mahlon and Chilion. No, they're not Klingons, as we discovered last week. They are actual people that mean sick and dying. Mahlon and Chilion. And they married two Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. These two sons, as we learn, after they've been married for about 10 years or been in Moab for about 10 years, the two sons also die. And this is a dark, dark season for Naomi. She feels alone, she feels hopeless, she feels stuck in a situation, in a place where she didn't expect to be, in a situation she didn't expect to be in. She has no male heirs anymore, no one to look after her, no one to be there and support her. There's no Centrelink, there's no Uber Eats or, you know, menu log to call on. She is all alone with these two girls, and then we see a miracle happen. God remembers Naomi. God remembers Naomi. And she hears that God is still working and still doing stuff, so she decides to pick up all her stuff and head back to Bethlehem. And that's where we're going to pick up the story from, is right there. But I'm going to pray first, because I need it. And you need me to pray too, because, you know, we need to pray. We need to get God to just work today. Father God, we come before you ready to learn. Teach us something new about your character. Teach us something new about who and how we are meant to live on this earth. Teach us something new about our community and how to reach them with the gospel message. Teach us something today. Don't let us leave this place without getting closer to you. Minister and send your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Speak through me. Amen. Most of you know that Zoe and I lived in Kalgoorlie. You know that. We were there for 6 years. We are the longest serving officers in the history of being in the Goldfields, in 120-something years. So that's a pretty big honour that we have. I'm sure someone will beat it soon enough. But what you don't know is I actually had an auntie who lived there. I have an auntie. Auntie Kim lives there. Well, doesn't anymore, but she was there. She married my mum's brother, but my mum's brother had passed away and then remarried a new guy by the name of Justin. I'd never met Justin before, but Justin loved to go gold detecting. He loved his gold detecting. I'd never been gold detecting before. I thought I'd try my luck at it. And you know how the saying goes, when in Rome or when in the gold fields, go and find some gold, right? So we jump in the car early one morning. I'm pretty pumped, you know. I'm ready to go. I want to get out there and find some gold. And, you know, I'd heard that it was like online, on-ground fishing. So you just kind of have your detector and, you know, you sweep it away. It's like being on land but fishing for this gold. And so I'm pretty pumped and I like fishing, so it was all good. But I jumped in the passenger seat of his car and we start driving out. And we were going about 100 kilometres out. And about 20 minutes into the journey, if you ever see those people, they just look like they've sucked a lemon and they're trying to figure out what to say. You know those uncomfortable conversations where they just look like they're... You know the ones, actually, this is probably, you'll get the picture here. You know when a guy like myself, you know, goes and asks Zoe's dad if I can marry his daughter, you know those uncomfortable kind of don't know how to get the words out quite right? Well, Justin's in the car like that. And I'm going... What is going on here? Like, this first time I met him, he was a bit, you know, and you could see he'd sucked a lemon and a bit uncomfortable. He wanted to talk, but he just doesn't come out. Like, there was nothing there. And after about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, I worked out what was going on. My auntie had told him I was a priest. And so he was told by my auntie, behave. I worked this out about 20 minutes in because he started asking questions about the church and being a priest and all that. Anyway, so I've gone, dude, just, I could see you're itching. Treat me as your nephew, not as a priest. I'm here just to relax, to have a good time. Anyway, the next thing I hear, and he fired it really big, quickly, was, thank beep for that. And then for the next, getting him to shut up from that point was really hard. he just kept talking and talking and talking, and every sentence he came out with was at least 1 to 10 swear words in it. And it was just a good day. By the way, I did find some gold, a little nugget. It was about $27 worth. Tiny thing. But I did find it. But here's what I want to tell you. See, on the drive back, we're driving back to Cal, and, you know, I pumped because I went gold detecting. I found some gold and... You know, beginner's luck and all that kind of stuff. But on the way back, without thinking about it, we were talking, and I swore too. Now, I'm not proud of this, but I swore in the conversation. Didn't even realize I had sworn. Right? I didn't mean to. It just popped out. And this is what I learned this day, relearned, and what I relived. Who we choose to connect with will determine who we become. Who we choose to connect with will determine who we become. And this is the lens I want us to read this next bit in, right? In connections, when we talk about connections, the power of connections, this is how the lens. Ruth 1, verse 8. Let me get some water. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as has shown kindness to the dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Then she kissed them goodbye and they wept aloud. So in the Bible, right here, we have three women on the side of the road weeping. Men, this is what happens when you put women together, they start to cry. I was going to say they have their bladders too close to their eyeballs, but I'll get into trouble for that. If you're going to complain, send it to angela.bell@salvationarmy.com. But these girls are on the side of the road, and the mother-in-law goes, go home. Go back to your land. Go back to where you come from. And the two girls, verse 10, said this, we will go back with you to your people. But Naomi pushes the point. She pushes the point. Verse 11, return home, my daughters. why would you come with me? I am not going to have any more sons who could come to be your husbands. Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I do, still have hope for me. Even if I have a husband tonight and I gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? Now, this sounds strange in today's context, right? Doesn't make sense. But back then, this made perfect sense. As I said, there's no Uber Eats, there's no menu log, there's no welfare, there's no food parcels, and no none of that. But to protect the women in this society, if a husband died, what would happen is the brother, the next brother down, the closest relative, would then take on that woman as his wife as well, and then bring her into his family, and they would get married, and then basically that the brother would look after the woman, look after the wife, or his new wife, and care for her to make sure that the family line continued. I can tell you, Zoe's happy we don't practice this anymore today because she's already had the best of the three of us. It's only downhill from here, right? See? Already had the best. What can I tell you? But don't miss what's going on here, right here, right? She comes up with a really cool argument to say, go home. But Naomi's doing something we all do all the time. She is pushing people away. And we do that, don't we? We push people when we're in our darkest of places, when life is in the toilet, when things are going bad, like we push people away. And she's doing exactly what we would do in that situation. And maybe she thought, let's give her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe she thought, my life is in the toilet. The journey back to Bethlehem is about 80 kilometres from where they were, you know, roughly, that's the distance. It's a tough journey physically, you know, there's a lot of robbers on the road, there's a lot of things that could go wrong. And then, we might get to Bethlehem and being Moabite women, you might be in danger there, and I don't have the resources to provide for the two of you. I don't have the resources to provide by myself. And so maybe she thought the best and said, look, go back. Maybe she really did love her daughter-in-laws, and no doubt she probably did, and said, look, just go home. Get a fresh start. Hit restart. And Naomi pushes them away. Verse 13. No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than it is for you because the Lord's hand has turned against me. See, I don't think she pushed them away for any other reason apart from the fact that she thought she was cursed by God because she was bitter. The Lord's hand has turned against me. The Lord has done this. She's not saying she doesn't believe in God. Clearly, she sees that God is the God of the universe, that he can do what he wants, that he is in control, that he can command people and do things and make things happen. What she has a problem with and what she's saying here is that God, she doesn't like what God has done with her life. And I understand that. There's plenty of times when I believe in God, but I don't necessarily like what God has done in my life. Where a situation has happened and I go, ugh. Why, God? Why? Do you know, when tragedies hit, we don't lose our faith. We don't lose the fact that God is in control and sovereign. We just don't like what he's done. And this is what happens. Our perspective shifts and changes. We understand that God is God, but we shift from thinking that God is good and God is faithful to God is angry at me. Make sense? And this is what happens. This is her perspective. It's out of whack. It's out of whack. And I believe that's why she pushed them away. She thought, if they stay with me, they're going to get caught up in all of this. And this is why we need the right type of people around us. Because our perspective will get out of whack all the time. Yeah? Yeah. Our perspective, we need someone to point us in the right direction. That's why the power of connection is so strong and so thick. We need to have the right people around us to point us in the right direction because it gets out of whack. Gets out of whack. In fact, I would hazard to say in today's world, there are so many people in our community, so many people that are out and about who think they've just stuffed up so much and that's why they think all the bad stuff happens to them. Or that if God truly loved them, they wouldn't be going through all of this. Or they think they've sinned and done so much wrong. How could God possibly love someone like me? And like, they're down on themselves. And then they go, I don't deserve forgiveness. And there are countless people, so they may not phrase it that way, but they have some form of that. And they say that God is against them, and actually this is a lie from the devil. This is a lie straight out to convince us, to break us off, to get us to push people away so that we get by ourselves. And when we're by ourselves, the devil can attack us in a bigger way. The devil has struggles when he's going against an army of people, a group of us. But when it's one person, easy, easy. This is why connection is so important, why we need to be connected to the right people to push us in the right direction. Can I say too, if you're watching online or you're in the room right now and you're thinking any of these things like that I've sinned too much or something, can I tell you this? Your sin and your shame and your wrong is no match for God's righteousness and God's goodness and God's forgiveness, yeah? No match for it. Your past wrongs can't push God away. He doesn't make him go, oh, yuck. You know, he doesn't do that in disgust. Like God's light, holy light, will put out every single darkness. The darkness will flee. God loves you so much. God loves you so much. And he loves every person on the planet, right? That's why he sent Jesus to make a way to pay the penalty for death so that we can have life and life to the fullest. And it doesn't matter what your sin and your shame and your wrongdoing is. It's been removed as far as the east is to the west when we believe in Jesus. And so all of this other stuff, we don't have to buy into the lie. Don't have to buy into the lie. We can have life and life to the fullest. We are not too far gone. We have not screwed up to the point where God can't save us. We have been forgiven. We have forgiveness. We have hope. We have life endurance. We have joy and peace and blessings. And God can change a situation around. Amen? God can change it around. But we need people to help us on that track. These ladies went to Moab. Remember, Moab was the place they weren't supposed to go, and Naomi went there. But she's thinking God is cursed. She's bought into the lie. Verse 14. At this, they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung to her. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. Naomi is successful to push one of her daughters away. But Ruth clings on. Ruth clings on. But what is interesting is that Ruth and Orpah had to make a choice. A choice of rather to go to their old life, what was familiar to them, what was known to them, what was safe. They knew it wasn't quite the promised land. They knew, you know, or to go into the new and the completely unknown. To go one way or to go the other way. And more than that, they had to make a choice then between do they go back to their families or do they stay with their mother-in-law. And Orpah thinks, I'm out of here, see you later. Bye-bye. She's already walking. Look, Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back. She's already walking. She's already going. She's out of there. She's returning back. She's returning back. But Ruth clings on. And I'm just putting this out there too. What would happen? This is an if. What would happen if Naomi decided to chase Orpah down in the story? They would, all three of them, Ruth would follow Naomi. They would all end up in Moab. Wouldn't they? If Naomi decided to follow and chase after Orpah. She doesn't. But that would be sermon over. Let's get some coffee and cake and talk a bit. You know, that the story would be gone. But she lets Orpah go. Can I tell you, there's going to be people in our lives we need to let go of. That they need to go back because they're going to lead us into the wrong place. But Ruth sits there and says no. And then says this. Do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where I go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. And your people will be my people and your God, my God. where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. I've actually heard that at a wedding. I don't know if you've heard that at a wedding before, that particular little bit of reading, which is really strange because it's one woman saying it to her mother-in-law. Not sure I'd say it to my mother-in-law. Hi, Mum. Hi, Dad. Watching later on. They'll be watching a little later. But Ruth connects herself to Naomi. She decides to go into the unknown, into the new. And maybe she'd heard the stories from Naomi about what Bethlehem was like. I don't know, but she connects herself. And this is the point. Connections will take us in different places. And who we connect to will determine who we become. So she connects herself to Naomi. And the two of them then go into Bethlehem. And this is where the story gets even more interesting. Verse 19. When they arrive in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. The woman explained, "Can this be Naomi?" Remember, Naomi means pleasant or sweet. Could this be pleasant? Could this be sweet? I personally think that the town was stirred with excitement at the fact that Naomi had come home. However, there's commentators who say that the women were, because it's only the women who were talking here, were gossiping at the fact that Naomi had come home. But gossip never happens in a group of women, do it? No? I'm going to get into trouble for today's sermon so much. It's all right, I'll beat up on the men next week. Some theologians even suggest that because she left, she didn't age well in the 10 years she was away. Could this actually be, wow, you haven't aged well, you know? There's multiple different things. Zoe thinks that they were talking around a bit and kind of behind her back. Either way, news that Naomi had hit Bethlehem and returned had gone around. And maybe they were talking about the fact that she brought someone else with them. Who's this? You know, who's that girl with her? You know, maybe that was what they were talking about. But hearing the stirrings. Verse 20, she says this, Naomi, this is, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara." Mara, by the way, means bitter. Because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. So in other words, she's blaming everything that happened to her on God. It's okay, God's got big shoulders, he can handle it. But she's blaming everything on God. And then she says this, verse 21, "I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." Did she really leave away full? Like, she left in a famine, she wasn't full. I mean, she had a husband and a couple of kids, but did she really leave full? There was a famine. And then she adds, "Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." Again, she blames God. She's having a good old rant. Who here likes a good old rant? Come on. Gets frustrated, needs to rant it out. Come on. 2-3 people? Come on. Be honest. Come on. Who likes a good old rant? I want to put like my legs up and like we like to have a good old rant, and she's having a good old rant. She's having a good old rant right here. And I love the fact that she has the freedom to do it. She has the freedom to do it. She has the freedom. And this is interesting to me, because in the passage, we just read it, and she has the rant, and then it gets to the end verse that says, you know, something along the lines of, you know, Naomi and Ruth went to, where's the end verse, 22? "So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied with Ruth, the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning." Like, that's how the passage ends. But she has this full-on rant in the, like, at towards the end. And I love the fact that she can rant, that she can just speak out how she feels, that she could just bleh it out. And she had the freedom to do that. We don't see in the passage, right? And I think it's deliberately taken out for us just to read straight over the top of it. We don't see someone go to Naomi and go, "Well, actually, Naomi, you left. It was your fault." We don't see that. We don't see someone say, "Blame yourself for this. You were the one who kind of took away and went away from where God was." We don't see that. We don't see anyone come to Naomi and go, "Look, I know your husband's died and your sons have died. You just need to have more faith. It will be okay. We don't see that. We don't see anyone say to her, oh, well, you know, God must have intended it for good because he's going to bring something good. Like, we don't see that. We just see this woman having a rant. In fact, we don't even see her get locked up or criticized for blasphemy and speaking out against God. We see that in other parts of the scripture, but right here we don't see it. She just has a good old rant. A good old rant. And she blames God for it all. Blames God. And it's okay. She comes back into Bethlehem. We know Bethlehem is the house of bread, right? She comes back into Bethlehem and has a good old rant in the house of bread. There's a couple of questions I want to ask. Firstly, do we have people around us where we can have a good old rant to? Because life is not always easy. People who are going to point us to Bethlehem and not to Moab. Because the connections we have will determine who we are. And the truth is, if you want to get better at swearing, then hang around people who swear. You want to get better at breaking into houses, go and hang around some thieves, because they'll break into houses and you'll learn how to do it really well. If you want to become more holy, then hang around holy people. If you're in a hopeless situation and you need hope, then hang around someone who has hope. And sometimes in the hopeless situation, we need to rant. We need to go crazy like, and let it out. But I can tell you, you feel so much better when you do. Don't you? Especially when you do it with someone you trust. Someone who's going to point you back to Bethlehem, to the house of bread. And over the next few weeks, we're going to see how when she hits the house of bread, Bethlehem, in the house of bread, she found the bread of life, being Jesus. It's so cool to see this. But this is the first question. Do we have the people around us that we can rant to? That can be there, who are going to point us in the right direction. What's our connection like? And this is the second question I want to ask us today as a church. Anybody who walks in our door, are we prepared to just listen? Just to listen, not to judge, not to say, well, actually, this is your fault, you did this. Not to go, well, you stuffed this up, you spent all your finance. Just to be in that moment with them. Zoe brought up an interesting point when I was talking to her the other day. She said, can you imagine how Ruth would have felt when Naomi goes, I've come back empty. I've got nothing. What do you reckon Ruth would have felt like as she decided to go with Naomi and to be with Naomi? And Naomi goes, I've got nothing. What do you reckon Ruth felt like? You see, when we deal with people, it gets messy. It gets messy. And there are people that are going to come in and I've got nothing. And you're sitting there going, but I've done all this for you. Like, don't I count? Doesn't matter. They just need that support right there. Two questions. Who have we got around us? And how are we going to be that influence that points people back to the house of bread? Let's pray, and then I'm going to get the singers to come up. Father God, I want to thank you for Ruth's story. I want to thank you for the fact that that they had the freedom to go back to the house of bread, freedom to go back to Bethlehem, and they weren't judged for it, but they went there. But I also want to ask that you kind of let us be having a Ruth spirit with people we encounter each and every day in the week. That we have that Ruth spirit that comes alongside people in their point of need and let them rant and rave and go on and just be there. Pointing them to Jesus, pointing them back to the house of bread. But I also know, Lord, in our own personal lives, it gets hard. And there are times where we recognize that God is in control and he is sovereign and he is overall, but we don't like what you do, and we don't like the way that you've taken our life. We thought it should go this way and you've taken us in the complete opposite direction. God, then we start to rant. Let us be able to rant in freedom with someone, but let them point us back to you as well. Let us have the right connections moving forward. and let us be the right connections moving forward. Let us lock in like a Lego piece to another Lego piece with someone who can speak into our lives, who could be there when we are ranting. But let us have other connection pieces at the other end where we lock into someone in our community and we could be Ruth to them. So we pray these things and we thank you for the learning and the teaching in this scripture. In the name of Jesus, amen. You know, our God is a way maker. Our God is a promise keeper. Our God is a light in the darkness. And I recognize today that there are going to be some people in the room they feel stuck, like Naomi felt stuck, they're on the journey and they're trying to just get back to the promised land, back to the house of bread, and they're feeling like they've got faith maybe, but they're struggling with the fact that, you know, God has taken their life in a totally different direction to what they thought it should be. And I also get too, if you're watching online and you stumbled across this feed or you're even in the room, that you may not even believe in Jesus yet. You may not even have connected the fact that we need to get to the house of bread, to get out of the Moab, because you feel stuck and you don't know what. Do you know what? The first step you've got to do is take that step towards Jesus and give your heart to him. So we're going to sing this song, A Waymaker. And if that's you in any of the categories, if you're online or you're in the room, come and talk to me afterwards or PM me if you're online. And we will chat about how you can take those steps towards God. If you need prayer after the service, I'm going to stay in here for a bit and I'll pray for you. We'll just talk about it, work it through. Be that piece of Lego to connect to say, yep, here, and point you back to the Bethlehem, if that's what you need. But I can tell you that we all need to have the right connections. We all need to have the right connections. So we're going to sing. So we'll get the singers to sing, and then we'll go have a coffee.